Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you have been with us the past few days in Abounding Grace, we've been looking at this very amazing section of Scripture in Romans chapter 4, where the Apostle Paul is making the case of justification by grace through faith alone. The implications of such a doctrine are huge. Let me just say, before I begin this today briefly, oftentimes I hear in Abounding Grace, will you really deal with the meat of the Word? And as if sometimes people should be remaining on the milk, I remind you that the book of Hebrews, the author chided people for remaining on milk. And he said, those who remain on milk are unskilled in the word of righteousness to have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is the meat of the word, but it's just basic Christian doctrine. That's the thing. And it's wonderful doctrine to understand how a sinner is right with God. This is God unfolding for us his salvation. And this is what a Christian should love. I don't know how any Christian could not love these doctrines of grace. The fact is that we've been making the case in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham has been justified by faith, by grace through faith alone. Often the sad thing is about Abraham is that it doesn't have the impact on us as it should. There is one other example that I want to focus on today that Paul gives us that will have this emphasis. He holds out for us the life of David. And he asks the question, what did David learn about justification? And so he says in verse 5, he says, just as David also describes the blessedness, Romans 4, beginning in 5 and 6, of the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works, blessed is the man whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered, blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. The first thing we're struck with is who this is, David, the greatest king of Israel in the Old Testament, and what did he understand about how a sinner is right with God? Here's where I'm so thankful for this example, because I think we relate so much because of what we know with what happened in the life of David. You know, the very sad reality today is that most people do not feel a real need to be right with God. We live in a day, even in Christianity, when most people think they will go to heaven, that God is love, there is no hell, God could never punish, and so sadly, nobody is really that impacted by the story of Abraham. David is a little bit different, however, because here the focus is on the burden of transgressions. And what do we know of the life of David? He was Israel's greatest king, of course, but imagine the incredible guilt he carried around after his sin was exposed with Bathsheba. The Lord comes to him and says, look, I anointed you over the king of Israel. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I also would have given you much more. Why have you despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? You've killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword. You've taken his wife to be your wife. And you killed him with the sword of Ammon. Can you imagine the guilt of that sin? Look, it's just true. Everyone who's listening today carries guilt. If not now, later it always catches up. A sinner may be involved in some sin, and right now he's just enjoying the lust of the sin, but later he may recognize what it has destroyed in his life. Everyone here has something in the past, those who are listening. Even in the present, they are maybe weighed down over and over the burden and the guilt of sin, and so overcome by it that they're never really able to let it go. And they live in terrible guilt and shame all of their days. There's no one listening today, of course, without a past, right? There's no one without a past than even our recent sins that do not do great damage, have great consequences, that do not agonize the heart. Of course they do. Adultery, divorce, physical abuse, fits of rage, anger, theft, murder, disputes with family, death of a father or mother or family or friend in which some terrible thing that has happened in the past was never resolved. What, of course, widow does not rehearse all of her failings and struggles in her marriage? These sort of things all go through the minds of people. What might it be? And here's where the rubber really meets the road. What does David say to us today? David describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Imputes means to reckon, to consider, to your account. So the blessedness of the man to whom God reckons the righteousness of Christ apart from their works, their failings, and their sins. And Paul cites Psalm 32 here, as David was the drafter of that psalm under the inspiration of the Spirit. Three things he emphasizes here about the life of the justified man. First, blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. That means literally let go, sin away. So the real happy life, and that's what blessed here is happy is the man. The real happy life is when someone has learned to live knowing that all of their sins are literally sent off. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed, sent off our transgressions from us. That's Psalm 103. And then he adds this. This was not done as if God just went light on his justice. Blessed is the man whose sins are sent off and whose lawless deeds are covered. So God didn't just send away the sins, but he satisfied his justice in covering them. And there we know that payment for sins was actually effected and accepted by God. Here we know what David has in mind. Amidst the terrible sin of adultery and murder, he was thinking of what Christ would do for him on the cross. And that was spoken to so very clearly in the Old Testament sacrificial system, as every year the high priest would sprinkle blood on the mercy seat, and that blood was sprinkled on the lid of the ark, that where the law was placed in, which symbolized that all have broken God's commandments. And so the priest would sprinkle blood on the ark to cover all of our lawless deeds. And what had already happened that day? Well, earlier in the day, all the people would gather together to confess their sins, and they would confess their sins over the head of a goat. After the service of confession, the goat was sent away into the wilderness. On the Day of Atonement, this all was made very clear. Sins were covered in the blood of Christ and sent away in his forgiveness. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus' death on the cross was the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. And remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, "Release these." That means let them go. His own disciples, as Jesus was handcuffed and led away like that goat in the wilderness. And so his very act of forgiveness means to let go. He sent away all of our sins. And on the cross, his shedding of blood was the remission of sins. What a wonderful gospel. So wonderful, he says, the truly blessed and happy man in this life is the one to whom the Lord will never impute, never reckon to his own account sin. Now, my friends, Abraham and David, the two greats of the Old Testament, both sinners saved by grace, is Paul's point here. What does it say about us? It means that the same is true of sinners like you and me. Such a message as this has huge implications for the rest of your days, if you are a Christian today, until he calls you to be with him. When this message really grips the heart, then a joyful, lively Christianity flows forth. This is what will produce the best form of practical living, might I add. When this gospel lies at the root and motivates in me to live in full thanksgiving in everything that I do, that God could give me such a blessed life in his Son, I am driven to a new life of gratitude. Don't you see this? It's not just that Christ has pardoned me. It's so much more. It's that God has declared me as totally righteous in Christ. And that means the real blessedness is not just a knowledge that God has forgiven me, but that now my life is lived, rejoicing, as Peter says, with joy unspeakable and fullness of joy, because I know that God has accepted me into his family, and that he loves me, and that I am a son. I have a place in his kingdom. I am valued by him because it took his Son's justifying blood to cleanse me, to release me, so that the fullness of joy in my salvation is now lived. That is a rare thing. This sort of joy I see little of in the Christian life today. And it tells me that what we need to do is immerse ourselves in the meaning and the truth of how a sinner is right with God daily. We never let go of this gospel. Then you see, I won't go looking for some hip pastor who wants to give me moralistic self-help sermons. Then our children won't be lured away by some hip pastor who's refusing to preach Christ, but instead wants to give us the mother tongue of hell. You know, it's so true, and I want to keep saying this. Christianity is not primarily about a mode of behavior. Christianity is about a message to be believed, and that message believed in the heart is so transforming, it produces a whole new mode of behavior. You know, could it be that those who defect from the truth and those who defect from their heritage of the doctrines of grace are those who have really never been shown what the joy of salvation looks like? They're looking for something exciting and glittery and exciting in their Christianity, and they characterize dry, dead traditional services as having no life. But the real issue is it may be because they've not understood the gospel. They've not seen people who understand the gospel and have it lived in joy, so as to actually impact their lives, as David's life displays. The real thing is the gospel. Sometimes people will say, "Give us the real thing." The real thing is the gospel. A bloody Savior who gave his life to freely justify all those who come to him with a believing heart. That's the only message that will really make a genuine, life-changing impact. Show to the next generation, my friends, a life that cherishes justification by faith alone. Watch the next generation demonstrate a Christianity before us that has real meaning and that is not caught up in the fad of the moment, which is exactly what we see today. Justification by faith alone. Martin Luther said that is the doctrine by which the church will either stand or fall. History has proven it. When the doctrine of justification is lost, the church will then turn into a very moralistic self-help society, and then it no longer becomes the church because it's not proclaiming the message the Lord commands the church to proclaim. Paul said, "Woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." What is the gospel? It is the gospel that God freely justifies a sinner by his grace through the righteousness of Christ imputed to their account by faith alone. That is the gospel. Up then, Christians, if you are a Christian today. Rise, hold fast to what you have. Let this news be cherished in your hearts, and others will begin to ask, "What is it that you have that I don't?" And you will say, "Let me tell you about this Jesus who has justified my soul." Of self-help messages that seem to leave you empty and wondering if you'll ever be able to make it or God will ever accept you? The fact is probably Christ has been left out of the message, if that's your struggle. The only comfort is that Christ has done this for us. The only comfort is that his perfect active and passive obedience God accepts. We proclaim him every week at the Linden United Reformed Church. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. Visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. You may also give us a call, 360-318-0429. Thanks again for joining us this week. Have a wonderful day, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of its glory continue to richly bless you.